Matthew chapter 11, we just sang, Jesus, hold my hand. Let me tell you something that's even more important than that as far as what he would like, and that is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray, and then we'll go on with the rest of the sermon today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to read from your word now, and to open it, and to apply it, and to hear from the scriptures. Help us to hear what you'd have said, that I would only speak what you'd have said, and that would be something that would speak to the hearts of each and every one. I pray for those who are not saved, that they would understand salvation and their need for salvation most of all. And those of us who are saved, that we would understand the application you have for us as well. I pray you just guide my thoughts now, and that you would be with the young people in the other room. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to meet together today in the freedom that we enjoy and the comfort that we have. And now, Lord, please use your word as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at verse 27, it says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus has all power. Jesus is sufficient and has all sufficiency for all things. And he says, come. And the last word in the verse 28 is rest. Come, and I will give you rest. We have a little two-year-old that lives in our home, and it's quite funny because every time we say, you want to go to bed? She says, yeah. And then she just starts running towards the bed. And I'm not used to that. Usually kids want to stay up, but she just likes to go to bed, I guess. And she doesn't always go to sleep, but she likes to go play in there or whatever. I wish somebody would tell me, go to bed. I'd jump, I'd run, you know. It wouldn't be a punishment for me. But anyhow, come and I will give you rest. You know, in this world, he said, all ye that labor. The truth is, every human being is laboring. And you might not even realize it, and maybe you haven't thought about it this way. But as a person, as a human being, we are either doing or we have understood it to be done. We are either trying to please God and to do some kind of works to appease our own conscience, or we recognize that the work has already been done by someone else, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, come unto me, all ye that labor. And of course, the word labor indicates the idea of works. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, and it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the Bible teaches that we are not going to be able to save ourselves by works. It is not possible. So when he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest, he's talking to those who labor. And unfortunately, what religion does and what religion falls into is the works and doing to try to appease people or to please someone and to hopefully earn enough merit to please the Creator. All ye that labor. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those people. You're not saved. You are thinking that you've got to do something in order to go to heaven. And that's just the natural man thinking that way. You're not alone. In fact, I think every human culture has that group of people, that main problem. They all think they've got to do something. The other night, we allowed the children to watch a cartoon of a lady named Amy Carmichael. And she was, I believe, in India, if I'm not mistaken, is where she was at. And they had the temple and the temple gods. And it showed, the beginning of the episode showed this mother with tears in her eyes bringing her beautiful little daughter, little 7-year-old, 8-year-old daughter, to the temple and giving her daughter to the temple, to the gods, hoping to please the gods with her greatest sacrifice, her only daughter. Boy, that really spoke deeply to the young girls that were watching it. That video is in the library along with a lot of others that we have. But it's an illustration of how desperate man is to please the gods. And today in India, my understanding is they're still doing those similar things over there. My understanding is they think that their ancestors can go into the cow. And they worship the cow as part of their ancestry. And so they can be starving with cows running around, you know, beef on four hooves. And yet they won't eat the beef, okay? Because they think that that is a god and they don't want to displease the gods. And there's all kinds of religions in different parts of our world where mankind is trying to offer something. You've heard of the Nile River and how that there were people that would throw their babies to the Nile River and the crocodiles. And the horrible stories that you hear about. And why are they doing that? Because everyone is trying to labor. They're trying to earn some sort of satisfaction, some sort of redemption, forgiveness, some appeasement to God in some way, thinking that that's going to do it. What they don't understand is the message of the gospel is that he did the work. And we don't have anything left to do to be saved other than to just come to him. I read recently something, and I want to repeat it to you. If you'll come, then you can become. And once you become, you can overcome. But it all starts with the come. You have to come to him. And so come to him. If you're not saved, you need to just come to him. Don't come to church to get saved, because church can't save you. Pastor Matt can't save you. No priest or any person can save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. And so he says, come unto me. Notice it doesn't say come unto church or come unto pastor. It says come unto me. Now, you might go to a pastor or some other Christian to help you see what the Bible says. But you know what? This is called the Word. You know what his name is in John chapter 1? The Word. So when you come to him, you come to the Word. And you find from the Word how to come to him. But come unto me, he said, all ye that labor. There are people out there who think that getting baptized will save them. That is a labor. And going to church will save them. That is a labor. And doing good things and doing penance. I've seen pictures of people crawling on their knees up and down stairs until their knees are bloody. You've probably seen those same images. Every Easter over in the Philippines, there are men who literally will allow themselves to be crucified to a cross. Nailed to a cross or hanging on a cross and bloody their backs and everything. All of that is labor. And it's not trusting in the one who did the work. It's trying to labor for it yourself. That's not salvation, see? And so he says, come unto me, all ye that labor. And then it says, and are heavy laden. You know what happens when you think and you've been brainwashed to believe that your salvation is based on labor? It isn't very long before you find out something. This is heavy. About the time you think you've reformed some area of your life, if you're honest, you'll realize there's a whole bunch of rottenness still there. And about the time you think you might have done enough good to maybe balance out, boy, it doesn't take much, and you've done a whole lot of junk. And now you've got a whole lot more labor to do to try to balance it back out again. And it becomes a real burden. He says, come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. The Bible teaches us the idea of the burden being lifted. We have hymnals that have, leave your heavy burden at the cross. And come to Calvary and leave the burden there. Let go of that burden. There's a Pilgrim's Progress story of how that pilgrim carried this heavy weight around until he finally met Jesus and understood the cross and the message of the gospel. And then the burden falls off. Some people, I believe, I'm convinced that there are people out there, the reason why they are into alcohol or they're into drugs is they are carrying a huge burden and they're trying to get a relief from the burden. And the high or whatever it is gives a temporary relief from the burden that they carry. Listen, that only when you wake up from that is more burden, isn't it? And so then they compound their burden. And so Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm sure part of the heaviness of the burden is the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And let's be honest, most every human being is very, very scared of dying. It's just a natural thing to be scared of death. Because the wages of sin is death. Something tells us that death is connected to our sin. And the wages of sin is something we can never quite get paid for. And so the fear of death, the guilt that we have, is lifted when we're saved. I believe that that's why people, again, alcohol, drugs, the guilt. I believe that's why people do certain things and are motivated in certain ways, because they're driven by the guilt. Listen, understand this. Jesus took all the guilt. I don't even know how to comprehend it, but I know I was saying it very recently. It might have even been last week. That you cannot possibly show in a movie what Jesus really went through. You can get the bloodiest, goriest movie out there, and there have been some made, showing the physical pain and the torture that Jesus went through. But the fact that he was a holy God and he took your guilt on him. Now, some of us in here, we know what kind of junk we've been carrying around. Now, imagine it on him. But now, imagine it on him plus everybody else in this room. Imagine it on him plus everybody else in Custer, in South Dakota, and the world. And the Bible says that it was 3 hours of darkness, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He became the sin of the world, the Bible says. He took all the burden on him. You can't show that in a movie, but you can read it. That's what he took upon himself. He bore that load. Can you? You know what it's like when you're guilty of something and you just walk around and you're just your head down and you just feel like, ugh. But can you imagine taking everybody's? And because of that, and because I was taught that and I believe that and I have faith in him, I don't suffer from that guilt. Now, you can ask anybody, including my wife. I am guilty of a lot of things. But I don't suffer from it. Because someone paid my guilt. And so I can sleep like a baby. I don't sound like a baby when I sleep, but I can sleep like a baby. Because that coming happened, and now the rest has been given. And then the fear of death. I honestly am not afraid to die. I do believe that death is going to be a blessing as the world continues. I'm not suicidal. But and I'm not going to speak for others, but I do believe that when a doctor says to some Christians, faithful Christians in the latter years of their life, looks like you're going to be going home soon. I can just see some of those Christians saying, really? That's what I've been aiming for. That's what I've been hoping for. The Bible indicates there's a story in the Old Testament about a young man, a son of a king that was dying. And the preacher told the messenger, you go back and tell him that God actually had a little mercy on that young man. That's why he's dying, because what's coming is really lousy. I'm not afraid of death. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not planning on it. But I'm not afraid of it, because I know who died for me. And I believe with all my heart it will be a closing of my eyes and a waking up in a new world. And then the fear of the judgment. The Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love has cast out fear. You know why? I'm not afraid of the judgment because I know who took the judgment for me when he died on the cross. So I'm not afraid of the judgment. You say, well, Pastor, I happen to know that you're guilty of this, this, and this, and aren't you afraid of those things? Well, you know what? Everything. Everything that will be brought before the Lord will have the same answer. Jesus Christ paid for Matt Furs. Everything. So I'm not afraid of the judgment. I might get some spankings as I sit before the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm not going to ever be cast into the lake of fire, as it says in the Great White Throne Judgment. I'll not experience that because of Jesus Christ. So, years ago, as a young man, I came to him, and he gave me rest. That's salvation. If you have never had a time that you can consciously remember where you came to him, and you came to him and you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and to save you, and you call on him and you call on him for salvation, if you do not remember a time where that happened, then you need to probably do that, because that means you probably aren't saved if you can't remember it. And so I encourage you, if you're not saved, to come to him so that you can have that spiritual rest that is forever. Now, everything I just said sounds totally not correct when you get to verse 29. Because he says, come to me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then the verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Hold on a second. I thought salvation was free. It is. Salvation is free. When you get saved, there's not one other thing you have to do. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to be baptized and then join a church like Dallas did today. You don't have to do that to go to heaven. It's because salvation is just coming to Jesus. But you know, Jesus did build a church. Jesus is the owner of the church. Jesus did give us things in the Word of God to do. And so that's why he says, after you come to him, take my yoke upon you. You say, what's a yoke? If you don't know what a yoke is, it's that instrument that they used to hook two animals together, two oxen or cows or horses or donkeys, covered wagons out here in the West years ago. And they would all be yoked up as a team. And he would say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, that sounds like work. Exactly. Because after you get saved, after you become a believer and you have trusted in Christ and you rest in his salvation, he goes on to say, now I've got a yoke for you. You see, we are saved, but we're saved from some things. You know, we all have yokes in our life. Every human being has or had a yoke before they were saved. Some are self-inflicted yokes. You might say, well, why did you struggle with alcohol? Because I made the stupid choice to start drinking it. Why did you struggle, or why do you struggle with that habit of tobacco? Because I made the foolish choice of allowing myself to get yoked up to Winston-Salem. We all have yokes. Some of them are self-inflicted. We brought them upon ourselves. Now, some of them are brought on by others. Satan, but also other people that Satan used. There are some in here, you were born in a situation and you have a yoke that wasn't your fault, but it is a yoke of sin and bondage. I think we can all say that in some way about certain situations we're in right now. But you know what? The Bible says no man can serve two masters. But the indication there is that we all serve somebody. And if you're still yoked up with Satan, you need to understand that getting saved breaks the yoke of sin and breaks the yoke of bondage and slavery to Satan. But what Christ wants to do is to allow us to be yoked up to him. Now, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He invites us to take it. It's not forced on us. Dallas wasn't forced to get baptized January. He was encouraged, but not forced. He was encouraged to get involved, and he has, but it's not forced. And Jesus Christ tells us to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he says in verse 30. And so this becomes then an understanding of what I was saying last week in Galatians 5:13. You have been called to liberty. You are free. You have been broken from the yoke of Satan, and you are free. But in Galatians 5:13, it doesn't stop there. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but in love serve one another. I have been saved to serve. I don't want to. Well, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your souls. So as a Christian, if I don't want to, I can disobey. But I'll be miserable. And I won't find rest for my soul. I think I've met Christians who got saved, but somewhere along the line, they didn't want to take his yoke. See, it becomes a life of submission. I used to serve the devil. There are people in here, you used to serve Satan. You used to serve yourself, which really is serving the devil. You used to pay for Winston-Salem, or maybe it was some other brand, but you used to pay for that. And for a while you thought, I feel sorry for those Christians. They don't get to be free like me. Here's another $20. Can I have 3 cigarettes? Free like you? Yeah, I feel sorry for those Christians. They can't drink alcohol and enjoy themselves like I can. Oh, who smashed up my car? What happened to my marriage? I lost my job. Yeah, you're free, all right. See, the world is in bondage. They just don't know it. But when I got saved, and when you get saved, the desire should be, you know what, I don't have to serve. But on the other hand, I have to serve. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to serve, but there's something in here that tells me I should. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your body a living sacrifice. Stick the neck out and allow it to be clamped down with a yoke. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I delight to do thy will, O God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, when you're yoked, you're gripped and fastened. And yet, you're gripped and fastened to him. Now, you think about it. When I was a kid, there was this big guy. He lives in Casper. He's still a big guy, bigger than me. He was older and bigger, and he was a tough guy, and you know, we'd help somebody move something. We were as teenagers. We'd go in their house, we'd help somebody move something, and we'd have a couch or a refrigerator or something to move, and Derek would be on one end, and I might be in the middle, and another guy on the other end, and I learned something. I learned all I got to do is look like I'm working hard. And Derek's really pulling the load. You know? Now, I don't know if that's a great illustration, but the point is that when I'm yoked up to Jesus, you know who's really pulling most of the load? Do you know who really is doing the work? In fact, you know who should get all the credit for the work? He says, my yoke's easy, because I pull the load. My burden is light, because after all, it's you and me together, right? The team is Jesus and me. Emphasis on Jesus. And so I'm gripped and fastened to him, and I find rest for my soul. Again, he invites us to take it. It's not forced upon us. I beseech you, brethren, that you do this. And today I want to say two things. Number one, if you're not saved, verse 28, come to him and get saved and find rest for your soul. Number two, if you're saved, but you're not yoked up, you haven't taken the yoke understand something. You're missing things. You're missing out on some things. You know, this leads to point number three. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn. When he says, take my yoke, that means be close to me. I mean, honestly, I mean, you get close. You're yoked up to him. There's a story in John chapter 2, verse 9 is where it's at. But in John chapter 2, it's the story of the water that was churned and transformed into the pure blood of the grape. And it's an amazing story, obviously. Everyone has heard of it. And the Bible, if you read it, the Bible says that nobody knew what happened except for the ones who went and did the work. The servants. The servants went and filled up all the water pots, and then the servants were told to pour out the water into the cups. It was only the servants that first knew and saw it firsthand. And because the servants knew it was water, and when it came back out of the pot, it was pure wine. When they knew it, they saw it, you couldn't convince them otherwise that it wasn't a miracle. Now, if you'd have told the guy across town, hey, this is what Jesus did, that guy's going to be like, that sounds interesting. I wonder if that's really true. But the servants didn't have any doubt. You understand what I'm saying? And the point is this. When you're the servant, you see things that other people don't get to see. The Bible says the servants knew. When you're yoked up with Jesus Christ, you don't just hear the stories, you see them. You don't just hear what Jesus can do, you are seeing what Jesus can do because you're with him. He's working with you. I'm thrilled with the few things that he has allowed me to see. And so when he says, take my yoke, it means be close to me. And service comes first. We think, well, I can't serve until I learn. And I love Dallas. I love his attitude. Well, I just don't know. I don't know a lot. And I you know what, Dallas? You serve, and that's how you learn. The serving comes first, and then the learning. Some people, and I understand, we would never take someone who just got saved and say, all right, now, you got saved. You're going to get baptized Sunday morning, and then the week after, you're going to be a Sunday school teacher. Now, that might be a little fast. But let me tell you something. Serving is the best way to learn. When you serve, God teaches you things. Who do you think knew and understood Jesus more? The disciples? Or just the people who got fed, the 5,000 people got fed? No, the disciples. The disciples saw the sack lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes turn into 12 baskets full. They saw it and knew how it happened. I actually have read that there's now a liberal commentary out there that says that Jesus had a whole storage of food in a cave and that his disciples just snuck out a bunch of food. Listen, those people didn't learn nothing. But you can't convince the disciples. There's a lot of people out there that say that Jesus never rose from the grave. You try to tell that to Peter, James, and John. You try to tell that, they know he did. Why? Because the disciples, the servants, the ones that are yoked up to him, you see more than the others. When you serve the Lord and you see that you're working, you're behind the scenes doing the service, let me tell you something, you see things that the general public doesn't see. A lot of people think that being a Christian means you should go to church. And if you're a really good Christian, you go more than once. Let me tell you something. The Word of God tells us that we're to be servants, and we serve him. We serve him in ways that he leads us as we're yoked up with him. He might say, you know, you see that person over there? They need to be talked to about me. Oh, but I'm an introvert. Yeah, I know you are, but that's why I'm going with you. And you're going to talk to him. And all of a sudden, that person gets saved. Oh! And about the time I start to get proud of him, wow, I must be a great salesperson. I really witnessed to that guy. And the person on the other end of the yoke says, it was me. But we learn to serve, and we learn to follow, and we learn to let him lead, and we find out that when we can't do it and we're so worn out, that that's when he's leading, and we're just yoked to him. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, what does that mean? Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I think that the school of learning and yoked up with him has a lot of teaching. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, you have not so learned Christ. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times where I'm pulling Jesus. I'm pulling him. Come on, I'm going to do it my way. And I found out that's the stupidest thing I could have done. I mean, anybody here think you know more than Jesus? Now, the truth is, all of us have. And I find out, you know, I am meek and lowly of heart. Jesus didn't always defend himself. You know that? Jesus didn't always insert himself or, you know, defend his rights. He allowed his demonstration of example to speak louder than his words. Oh, I know. When they yanked the beard out of his face, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't, because he wanted to speak a bigger message. Learning in his yoke is going to teach me some things, some wisdom, some patience. You know what I found out? When you serve the Lord, it's wonderful to serve the Lord, but there's one negative to it. When you serve the Lord, you know what it usually involves? Are you ready for this? When you serve the Lord, it usually involves, yoked up with him, serving, you ready? Serving people. Oh, I don't know about you, but people are awful. I mean, church is not a bad thing. It's just the people that's hard to deal with. That's all, right? Well, I tried to do something and so-and-so offended me. Hey, isn't it a good thing no one ever offended Jesus? Right? I mean, seriously, serving him and yoked up with him means that we serve. In fact, there was one time where he got on his knees and he washed everybody's feet. I'm just going to say that I believe that if all the people in the room that should have been washing feet, it wasn't him. In fact, everybody else should have been washing his feet, don't you think? But he got down on his knees and he washed their feet. And I read one day that the word minister, the minister, I read one day, that word means servant. And then, the word deacon, you know, deacon, I'm the deacon. It's actually a transliteration of a Greek word called diakonos, and it means servant. As a matter of fact, you can read, and I think it's about chapter 25, where it says, when you get to heaven, he's going to say, well done to those who did well. Well done, thou good and faithful. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful celebrity. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful church attender. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Who would it? Well, I wonder who he wants to serve. I bet it's people. That's what I'm thinking. Now, of course, it's him, but we serve him when we serve others. She's going to be upset with me for saying it, but yesterday, Kathy was here cleaning. Kathy, when she comes to clean, she does a very good job, all by herself. Half the building, she cleans. Yesterday, I could hear some extra noise, and I thought, what's she doing? She's going out, she's coming in, going out. And they came back, and she had the vacuum all apart. And she said, Pastor, I think we need to tell everybody that there's actually a vacuum bag in this vacuum. And apparently, sometime in the last decade or so, the bag popped off the vacuum hose, and the whole inside of the vacuum has just been filling up with dirt. And so she had the whole bag, and she had it upside down, and she was dumping it in the dumpster, and she's got dust all over herself, and she, And so she spent an hour cleaning the church vacuum. Not the church, the vacuum. And I thought to myself, you know, there are times in my service when someone else didn't do a good job, and it's real hard for me to want to do a good job and to appreciate the other people who didn't do a good job. Have you ever felt like that before? I mean, I don't think I'd have blamed her if she said, Pastor, I only had an hour and I just spent it cleaning the vacuum. Could you just find someone else to clean the building now that I cleaned the vacuum? You know, the yoke of service teaches us things. Here's the thing it teaches us probably most of all, and here's what we don't want to learn, but we need to learn it. You ain't as big shot as you think you are. And humility is a... You can't even go to the best Bible college in the world and take a class on humility. You just can't get it from a class. But you can get it yoked up to Him. You get it. You can. You'll learn it. You won't like it, but you'll learn it. And you'll need it. And it starts to teach you things you need to learn. And you'll be up yoked up like this, and you'll be like, I hate that person. That person is vile. And the person on the other end of the yoke will say, and I died for him. And you'll learn faith and trust and thankfulness. There's a lot of things you'll begin to learn when you take. It's not forced on you, but if you'll take it, you'll learn. I do not want to offer myself in His service because I just know He's going to put me in a room full of 4-year-olds. Well, you know what? If that really is your phobia, could be that He will. But I promise you, it's because you need it. But He has a school of learning. It's called His yoke. And He'll take us places we don't want to go. And He'll take us over here and it'll be like, oh, Jesus, of all the person in the world, why do we have to be over here with that one that I don't like and that I can't forgive them? Because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. And Christian, we got this concept of verse 28 down pretty well. Come unto me, be saved. I'm saved. But then this yoke thing, I don't think that probably wasn't in the originals. Verse 29 probably wasn't in the originals. We shouldn't read verse 29. No, it's in there. He said it too, just like He said the salvation part. He said that yoke part. He said, learn of me. I heard a preacher ask a guy one time, how in the world, I don't think the preacher should have asked him this question, but he said, how in the world do you stay married to her? Preacher asked the guy that. That's a sad question. But I'm going to tell you why I remember the story, because the answer, how could I do anything else? He loves me. Whew. Ladies, you want a husband that you can respect? You get a husband that's yoked up to Jesus. He'll treat you right. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And you'll find rest for your souls. You know, in all of this, I know I've painted a very negative picture, like everything that we do for Jesus is hard. No, there's a lot of blessing. I mean, He takes His place. It's like, wow, that was amazing. Oh, wow, did you see what He did? I got a small blessing just yesterday, and it's not a brag on me, but it was a blessing. There was a pastor here. He's in North Carolina pastoring. He grew up in Casper. He attended a Bible camp in Wyoming years ago. He said he was saved in his church, but he said, I wasn't saved. I just knew. And I kept putting it off. But at camp, he said, I don't remember anything the preacher was preaching. But while I was at camp, it was like God just kept saying, you know you're not saved. And he was so burdened about it, but he didn't want to talk about it because everyone thought he was saved already, and he just didn't care. He started to walk out of the camp lodge and going back to the cabin. And he's just walking back to the cabin thinking, I'll just walk away from this and I'll get over it. And there was a counselor there, a preacher that was at the camp and saw him and said, hey, you want to talk about something? And Brad Jenkins spun around as a 16-year-old boy and said, yeah. And he went with that preacher and he said, I don't think I'm saved. I need to get saved. And that preacher led him to the Lord and he truly got saved. And then he was a youth pastor in Douglas for a while, and then he went over into Central City and parts of Nebraska and started a church there, and it's still there. And then he went into North Carolina, and now he's pastoring in North Carolina. And he was staying here in our cabin this weekend. And so yesterday morning, he was just telling me that story, and he said, that preacher that said, hey, you want to talk about something? That preacher was your dad. See, it's fun being yoked up because there's cool stories. My dad's losing his memory, but there's someone going to heaven, and he can't even remember who it is. But he had a part in it because just serving the Lord. You know, when we are given opportunity to serve, it's not just because there's a need. It's because there's a need for us to serve. I hope you can understand what I just said. It's not so much that there's a need to be fulfilled as there is a need for us to serve. And we need to understand the principle that it really is more blessed to give than to receive. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. But if you'll take my yoke upon you after you get saved, you'll find rest for your souls. You'll find rest the world can't understand. I don't know how to explain this, but I'm just going to say it this way. My house is more unput together than it has been in a long time. And I sleep like a baby, and I don't even care. I have to go through my house just trying to find the laundry. But I don't yell at my wife for it, because I know why. And it doesn't bother me. Now, you can ask any of my kids, my four kids, my biological kids, house looking like it does right now, laundry not done? You could ask any of my four kids. I'd be like, what is going on? But not now. Because I know why. It's all good. There's a rest in service. There just is. If you're visiting, you're saying, what in the world is he talking about? We've taken in three new ones. And they're a blessing. There's all kinds of ways where Jesus says, hey, I need you to serve right here. And you're like, oh, that's going to cost me. And he'll be like, yeah, I died for him. What's going to cost you? I need you to serve right here. And so as I finish, I just want to say this. We cannot be ashamed of his yoke. Teenager, I know what it's like to be a teenager. I used to be one. And it's real easy to be ashamed of his yoke. Ashamed. Don't be ashamed of his yoke. Adult, don't be ashamed of his yoke. The world laughs at you. You don't get to do this and this and this. You can't have fun like we get to do it. Listen to me. Just remember, it's because I'm yoked up to someone and it's worth it. It's not something to be ashamed of. And the truth is, you might not be able to see it, but they're yoked up to somebody too. And 20, 30 years from now, it'll be obvious which yoke was right. So come and rest. If you're not saved, get saved. But if you're saved but you're not serving, take his yoke and then learn from him. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Our heads are bowed, eyes closed. Let me just quickly ask, is there someone here today that if I were to ask you, if you died today, would you go to heaven? You would say, I want to, but I don't know for sure if I would go to heaven. I don't know if I died right now, I would go to heaven. Then you need to do what he said in verse 28, come to him. Come to him so that you can have rest. I see that hand. If you're not saved, I'll talk to you after church today about it. Is there another person? You'd raise your hand and say, I need to talk to you or your wife about salvation. Would there be anybody here say, that's me, I'm not saved. I don't think I'm saved. I want to talk to you about it. Anybody at all? Secondly, you're here, you know you're saved, but you haven't taken on the yoke like he'd like you to and serve him like he'd like you to. Maybe God spoke to your heart about that. I don't even need to see your hand today. If that's you, you just need to talk to him and get in his yoke. Get out of Satan's yoke to get saved, but get into God's yoke to really serve and be a blessing and be and receive blessing. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for how you do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And you teach us with your meek and lowly heart how we should be. And you show us and expose to us our not so meek and lowly life. And you show us how we need to be yoked up to you more, because we're not like you. And we're really not getting anything done without you. So help us to be yoked up to you like you'd like us to be. And I pray if there's someone here that isn't saved, that they would get saved. But after their salvation, they would get baptized. They would join a church. They would get involved. They would learn to serve you and serve others. And that they would find the true rest for their souls. In Jesus' name, amen.